Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
It is Daffodil Day, and no better place to be than with Rosie May in a wonderful garden. Yes, the insomniac gardener. She's getting a little sleep this weather with the days getting longer, that's for sure. And it is daffodils, well, for the most part, all the way today. Look at this.
Yeah, I brought these out for you, seeing as you did mention you wanted to talk about daffodils. Now, these are one of my favourite varieties. This is just, it's Narcissus, it's Jetfire, and it's got a lovely little kind of a two-tone combo of yellow and orange. And I love them because they're small. They're not, you're not looking at kind of miles and miles of foliage for ages. And then this little beauty over here, that's tete-a-tete, but it's a double one, which again is a miniature variety. I think it's called boucle or something like that. But isn't that just so sweet?
Do you know what I love? And okay, I've learned already something from you here today. I have them in pots at home, but they're the standard large daffodil. Yes. And you know, when you get breezy weather and that, they're blooming lovely, but they sort of fall over. But these two varieties here are totally suited to pots.
They absolutely are. And you can see the slightly smaller one up there. That's
a baby.
That's tete-a-tete. In fact, I actually just got those, ready, potted up in a pot in a garden centre and just popped them in temporarily. And what I'll do is I'll take those out and I'll plant them in the ground afterwards. But you can see they are smaller than the Jetfire, but they're still both really, really just a nice size. Like that's probably what, about a foot tall maximum. Yeah. And then you're just not looking at acres and acres of foliage. Like you'll just see over here in the beds as well. That's all tete-a-tete. And the tete-a-tete, what I love about those is then, say, I have a lot of catmint planted there. And as the catmint and the hardy geraniums grow up, they cover the dying foliage. So you don't have to start chopping them or twisting them or doing any of that malarkey. So that's why I just love them.
They're absolutely beautiful. How many bulbs would you put in each of those pots there?
I think I've about 15. Mm. And you can layer them. Now, I'm not going to leave those in those pots because I think long term, I mean, they'll survive for a couple of years in a pot, but everything has its limit in a pot. And you have to feed them and you have to water them and you have to do all sorts of things. Now, they're just actually buckets. Look, there's
I see
it's a metal bucket, and then that's a little waste paper metal bin from IKEA, actually, that I drilled holes in. And once I take those out, I'm actually going to plant those in the meadow.
Okay.
So I don't waste them.
Yeah.
And, and it's great to plant them now because in autumn, I often go in with my fork and I'm like, oh, Jeannie, and you splice something in half. And so at least this way now I know where there are no daffodils. I'll show you when we get up there.
And if you were leaving them in the container, you'll get a year or two out of them with that number of bulbs in a pot of that size. And then after that, really, you need to plant again.
Yeah, well, it's just they get congested, you see. And then there's also a lack of nutrients to feed them. Mm. Now, letting the foliage die back, that's the mantra. And I've been trying to get around it for years because it always says, let the foliage die back. And if you don't, then the following year they haven't had enough food to feed the bulb and then they come up blind or they won't flower the following year. And that's why I started looking into shorter daffodils because, the 2 foot high daffodils, I do have them, I'll show them to you, but they're now in an area where they can just let them die back. They're planted in amongst lots of shrubs and they can do the do down there and, let them die back naturally. But these ones are on display and, as I say, they'll go into the meadow afterwards.
Yeah. So. Absolutely lovely. Let's walk on this daffodil day. And as you say, there are more of them here. Look through the beds as we walk up here as well, with a lot more besides.
Absolutely. Even this little bit of sunshine has really encouraged all the new growth you see there on the catmint. And you can just see, like, there's all the little tips on hydrangeas and just lots and lots of growth.
I see it because I remember from the last day I was here and the bleakness of it. And yeah, you can just see it, if I could say now, all peeping and ready to burst forth.
Absolutely. There are so many plants now in the ground. Half the time, sure, I forget them. And then when they peek up, they're a nice surprise. Like, I'm just looking up there. Do you see the lovely purple?
Oh,
that's
beautiful.
A snake's head fritillaria. And then beautiful shrub there. Do you see with the orange?
Oh, yes.
That's Edgeworthia chrysantha red dragon. And it's related to the, remember the in January, February, the daphnes?
Yes.
It's kind of the same family.
Yeah.
But it's the paper bush shrub, and it's lovely. They were used to make, actually, banknotes, I think, in Japan years and years ago, or quality paper. Mm. You know, so it's really interesting. But there's more little tete-a-tete daffodils now in those two pots.
In the pots. They're lovely. You have them dotted round beautifully, and they just, you know, catch the eye as you gaze round the beds as well. And I have to mention our friends overhead. There's an absolute beano going on here because the crows are building and building like mad. Do you reckon, like, just looking up for a moment at the trees there, are there more nests in the trees year on year?
Well, certainly they've extended their housing estate, because before, when we moved in, it was just here. But now they're at the around the corner there at the front of the house, you know. So there's probably about 80 nests in total up there. I remember we counted it 1 year. And, you know, look, I love them, but it is a bit of a curse because they drop so many twigs. I probably spend about a week over the period of the building period going around with wheelbarrows, and they give out heck to me because you can tell that I'm taking their building material. I just put it on the ditch line so they can access it. Look at that lad just
there's a fella just
there.
After flying in to pick up some of those twigs that you put there. They're marvellous. I love them. I love them, and the noise, the cacophony of sound there is amazing.
Now, we're actually just, I'm just going to show you some, that's a lovely thing there. That's called summer snowflake. People think it's a giant snowdrop. It's not. It's Lycodium. And then, do you see this little one here?
Yes.
Isn't that lovely?
Gorgeous.
And then the ones here, they're white. I love white daffodils. And now I know, I don't, there's so much to learn about daffodils, and I don't know a lot about daffodils, but I just know what I like. And that's Thalia, T-H-A-L-I-A, and I can highly recommend that one. Again, it's not too tall, so you're, and the foliage is kind of strappy, as opposed to that, you know, kind of very elaborate. To see the bigger foliage on that yellow one over there. But Thalia is absolutely lovely. And then this is another one of my favourites. It's called Bridal Crown, and Bridal Crown is highly scented, and look, it's just gorgeous. It's kind of a double daffodil.
It is.
There's lots more up there.
We're going to walk on and see them. Yeah. And just in general sense, when we are walking on, daffodil season is now a more lengthy season, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It starts when? When will you see the first of the daffs? And then when is the end of the season? Just for listeners.
Well, actually, the tete-a-tete daffodils came out in early February because they're established. Now, It's interesting because sometimes I say, oh, I'd love to fill up this with a few more. And then I plant some in the autumn. Any of the ones that you plant, say, like last autumn, they're later because obviously they're not established. But the ones that are in the ground and have been fed and, you know, kind of sank back into the ground and they're waiting to come up, they spring up much earlier. So I'd say February. But then the daffodil season goes right on until May. I mean, you have so many. There's lots of lovely gardens that you can visit in the UK, and they have daffodils like for months and months and months. And in fact, anybody who is interested in daffodils, there's a wonderful daffodil grower in Tyrone called Esker Farm Daffodils, and David and Jules there, they have just the most amazing collection of daffodils. I mean, you do your heart good. And I think they've got some of the Brian Duncan varieties as well. And, oh, you should just see the
can you visit?
Yes, I think I saw it on their website that they welcome you to visit while the daffodil fields are in bloom. And then, obviously, you order and they deliver in the autumn. But generally, they are at, like, a lot of the plant fairs and things like that. But they're definitely worth checking out, you know.
And look at, I see some other daffs there. Look at, and they're just, look at the buds. Is that daffodils in there? And you can see them. They're not even open yet.
They're not. And they're probably a later one. That's, again, the tete-a-tete, so you can see that. But this one here that hasn't come up. Now, they would have been planted last autumn. Because what I decided to do was, I normally had tulips in here. and it's hard to get in. And you can see there's an awful lot of perennials there. This is kind of a bit wild, but there's Japanese anemones and there's Persicaria and then a few shrubs. And I said, I want to put in something that will reliably come back every year, and daffodils are better than tulips at coming back. So that's actually Bridal Crown. It's more of this one here.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful, the Bridal Crown, I have to say, when you get close to it there and see it. Isn't it gorgeous?
Have a smell.
Oh, my God. Give me that again.
Isn't that amazing?
The fragrance off that.
Isn't it just beautiful?
You'd never think, would you?
Yeah, and three flowers on one stem.
Yeah.
Isn't it just beautiful?
And that is, again, just remind us.
That's Bridal Crown, it's called.
Wow.
And it's commonly available.
Is it?
Thalia is just coming out. What I love about Thalia is, again, like there's, say, like there's two flowers on each stem, or two or three flowers on each stem. But look at the way even the unopened bud is so pretty.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And then look, if I can just get in here to show you the lovely colour.
Oh,
isn't it just lovely?
It's such a delicate... And look at the centre, in at the centre there.
It's
the little
beautiful.
Yellowy green as well.
Absolutely.
It's truly beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So now we're
this
going
is
up
just
here,
lovely. Up the hill we
up
go.
The hill
we're
we
in
go.
Good fettle.
We, sure
we don't need to take too many breaths. It's lovely, though. But I can feel it. I say it here today, besides the daffodils. Look at the pink colours here.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that just beautiful? What is that?
That is a dwarf cherry tree. It's called Prunus Kojo no Mai, which is a bit of a mouthful. But it's one of my favourites because it doesn't get too big. Because even though we have room for cherry trees, I just like that the flowers are at eye level. It'll get to about 8 feet, I think, probably eventually, maybe 3 metres, you know. So, but that's, look at the bee.
Look at the big bumble in there. And you know, you're right, that little burst of sunshine, even though it's on the cool side, the bees are out there working away. Great to
see.
They
sure are. And then this lovely thing here, that's Rebs, or the flowering currant. And there's a pink one here and a white one here.
Yeah.
So just, I don't know, God, that bee is really having a party.
Really having a beano, should we say. And there are smaller bees there as well.
There
so
are.
You'll find that the honeybees are emerging as well with the little bit of heat at this time of the year. And here, more daffs as we walk by here.
Crown.
Beautiful again, aren't they?
Yeah. And it's funny because, remember I was saying, like, see, that's the Tete a Tetes from last year. So they're taller than the ones in pots, and they're almost going over. Because I was in a bit of a panic. I was saying, oh, Janie, what are we going to have now? Because we're too early for some and we're too late for others. But anyway, I can tell you where we are going to have them. Like, for example, up here, there's a semicircle. See the semicircle?
Yes.
So that's hydrangea limelight, but they're underplanted with Narcissus cheerfulness. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous flower.
What's this fella?
Isn't that lovely? That is a viburnum. Viburnum Charles Lamont. And that, again, is highly scented. Beautiful smell. And then just under here, you see we have a tree fern. And that's underplanted with cyclamen coombe. And then surrounded in a circle of a wonderful woodland plant called Pachypragma macrophylia. How about that for a bit of a...
Well done, Rosie.
Bit of a mouthful. See, I did my homework before you came. But no, that's actually one I can always remember. And it's funny, I don't think there is a common name for that. And but I just like that kind of
lovely.
Circular vibe.
I want to talk about the blue colours here and the mauve or whatever. You know, that shade of stuff. What are we talking about here?
They're muscari, which do bring, you know, I mean, they bring such a beautiful, vibrant blue. And they come in various different shades. And they do spread a little. So if you have a smaller garden, maybe put them in a pot. Because they'll come back year after year in a pot. And just up here, that's Pulmonaria.
Let's go up and have a look at this because it catches my eye in the distance. Yeah. Look at it here, woven in through the green and the variegated there as well.
Yeah.
God, that's gorgeous, I have to say, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, it's so funny that you're commenting on that because to me that's a difficult area and it's a kind of a nothing area because that's a bank that we, you know, kind of put in there a few years ago. That's a lovely vinca, Vinca autopurpureum, and it's not quite as... thuggish as like the other. There's another one with a larger flower, but see the flower is kind of blue, deep blue purple, and it's twisted, and it's just a lovely, lovely thing. And then that's again give somebody a heart attack in a smaller garden. That's Lamium, so I wouldn't advise. I have to keep manners.
It runs
on that.
Everywhere.
Oh, it runs everywhere, but it's fabulous for a brown cover.
Yes,
you know.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
And we're up at the highest point of the garden here now, and we'll be starting to descend down in a minute as our friends in the trees remind us that they're there and busy building.
Yeah. Now, just wanted to just draw your attention here to these two camellias. Mm. So they are loving it this year because if camellias don't get enough water and enough feed, say the previous year, that's when they're forming their flower buds. But do you remember how wet it was last year?
Absolutely. Don't start, please. And it hasn't stopped since.
The deluge. But look, at least something's happy. So, I mean, look at the amount of buds on those camellias. And that one on the left, that pale pink one, that was in a pot and it got the dreaded vine weevil. You know, that awful grub that eats all the roots. Luckily, I turfed it out into a wheelbarrow and brought it up here, picked as many as I could out and gave them to the robins and squashed some of them, I have to say. And it has sat there and sulked for about 5 years. And look at it this year.
It just shows you.
Yep.
Never give up.
Never give up.
Never give up. It's going to happen. You might think you've lost it, but you haven't. Keep at it. You know, persistence is the key. It's beautiful. Look at the buds of it. Yeah. Wow.
And look at this. So that's another one of those Edgeworthias. It's just going over. But see, there's a hoverfly on it. Yeah. Highly scented. That's a yellow one. That's Edgeworthia chrysantha grandiflora. See me lovely posh.
Yes, little, you have the little label. Name on it there.
Just and then all the hellebores. Imagine when you were here last, the hellebores were in bloom. And look at them. They're still in bloom.
They are.
And they're magnificent.
They are lovely.
Look at that for colour.
Oh,
pinks and yellows and whites. And
it's incredible. You know, we're just beyond St. Patrick's Day and look at the colour in this garden. It's fantastic.
And look at here. So it is, you know, interesting that when you come back, look at how kind of, you know, bare that piece looks. But you see all the points?
I see them coming up.
That's a semicircle of Solomon seal. And that'll come up to, say, about 3 feet. And it'll have lovely arching stems with little tiny little cream bells on it. And then it's edged with pulmonaria.
It's lovely. It's lovely. And, you know, it's just nature, isn't it? It's gorgeous.
And then the blues. These are lovely, you know, to bring blue in before, say, like the bluebells come. They're Scilla. And they're just a lovely little, see that electric blue? Now they're tiny, but they're really pretty. And then these again are Narcissus thalia, which are not out yet, but I was asking some plants to hold on and I was telling others to hurry up, but that's gardening for you. But there's a semicircle of lovely thalia.
Oh, they're lovely.
And do you see the snake's head fritillaria are all coming out here?
So. And they just add so much. But you know what you have? I said it before to you. It's just Mother Nature does her thing in her own time, depending on the weather and the year. And as you mentioned there, even the previous year has an influence when it regards moisture or whatever. It's incredible. It's incredible. And here we walk out into what is the wild meadow. But it's absolutely dotted with daffodils everywhere.
It sure is. And it's terrible. I mean, I call this the dumping ground because, you know, when I take things out of a pot, I don't want to throw them out because obviously they're beautiful and, you know, they do a good job. But over there, do you see, I missed a bit over there. So those daffodils in pots are going to go into that
corner.
Into
that gap there,
but yeah. I also have, so a friend of mine was getting rid of daffodils and she was throwing them out. And I was like, oh, don't throw them out. Give them to me. So we planted them here in the meadow. So that's the tall ones.
Yes, the standard, as we would call them, that you see everywhere.
But the beauty is that I don't mind because the grass is going to grow up anyway. And, you know, that'll eventually hide them. But do you see there's a paler daffodil there
in the centre?
Yeah, and then just on the edge here. That's actually a great daffodil for naturalising. That's Narcissus lobularis, or the Lent lily, I think is what they call it. And it's again, it's one of the kind of the older original daffodils, and that's used an awful lot for naturalising.
Okay, so that's if you're going to do that in a natural setting, this is the one to put the bulbs in for. And as well as that, as you just remind listeners today, earlier on you said, in this context, they'll die back naturally themselves, and that will mean no blind daffodils next year.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, if you have, now these are in the meadows, so I'm not going to be feeding those, but they also will be able to take it when it's dry during the summer. Now, we live in Ireland, but anyway, but it's no harm to give them a bit of a feed anyway after flowering. You can deadhead them if you want. I don't, obviously, because I have thousands of them, but fantastic. I mean, all the different shapes and the different colours and the different heights. And then I've just got a little bit of blue muscari. Again, they actually came from, see the path?
Yes.
And they were starting to take over the path. So I just literally, you know, drag them out and shove them in. And look, there's a huge...
And they're flying along.
Flying.
Just on that deadheading, if you haven't the quantities of the vastness you have, is it a good idea to deadhead daffodils, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I do in, say, a very obvious area. Somewhere that's, you know, if you're going to be seeing it every day, I do. And I think it's kind of good for, don't cut the foliage, but if you literally just nip the head off, you know, you're not going to, it's not going to go to seed or do any of that stuff. So a lot of the energy then will go back into the bulb instead. So yes, that's always a good thing. You know?
Okay. Good advice there from Rosie as we travel on. Yeah. We're heading down.
I'm afraid that I was hoping that these would come out. Look, there's only one.
Say that
here
to me again. As we travel down towards the courtyard, but there's a stop on the way, yes?
There is. So these terraces, I used to have tulips in it, but now I'm planting daffodils and a lot of them, they're not out. There's a really late one called Pheasant's Eye Daffodil. And then again, we've the lovely Thalia. There might be a few actually out down here, but you can just see they're growing, but yes, they're just not out
oh
yet.
Oh yeah, well, just to say that they're on their way and they're beneath the ground there. Oh, look at that blue around the tree there. Lovely, isn't
lovely
it?
Yeah,
oh,
and that's gorgeous, a great area to have the Muscaria, Muscari up there, because they can just do their own thing up there. So, no, they're not out there. See all those, see where the statue is there?
Oh yeah, they're on the way. There? Actually, I see it. I see it. Yeah, I see it.
And then that's a gorgeous daffodil.
Which, what variety is that?
It's a Narcissus poeticus, and that is just a beautiful late flowering daffodil. That is much taller, and they're fantastic for naturalising. I have some of them up in the shade in the woodland as well, and they are just a brilliant, brilliant daffodil. I love them. And they actually, I think, are one of the... I think there's some kind of a legend associated with Narcissus, and... You know, he was cruel to one of the wood nymphs, and he was punished by falling in love with his own reflection. He used to lie at the edge of a pool and gaze at his reflection. And then when he died, apparently Narcissus poeticus, you know, grew in the space where he died. So there you go.
Brilliant, brilliant. What wonderful knowledge. I can tell you there's wheelbarrows out here, there's spades, there's forks, there's everything going on. And we're just going to have a look here. Oh, look, let's go over here and look at this. Yes, look at that lovely daffodil there. Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I wish I knew the name. I don't. But that's been there for years. And look how close it is to the tree trunk.
Yes.
So that's a real example of just, you know, it's happy and I'm not going to touch it. So it's just, but it's a lovely, it might be Mount Hood, actually. I'm not sure, but...
yeah, a yellowy centre and a white outer leaf on it. Delicate looking daffodil, but a full-size tall one as well, we have to say.
No, they're lovely. And this is a lovely forsythia, which is fantastic for spring colour.
Yellow,
it is. And you can see where I've cut it back on numerous occasions, because they really do get very, very big. And I just cut it. But you have to cut it as soon as it's finished flowering, because if you cut it later in the year, you'll be cutting off next year's blooms.
Okay.
You know, so
good advice on that.
But
one
it's a lovely one. It's lovely. Really, really nice.
Lovely.
And we'll go down around the sunny border.
Yes.
And
not much happening in the courtyard, is there, at the minute?
Well, there's a lot of the tree ferns are still lovely. I haven't cut them back. This bed, again, these are actually later hellebores. Can you see these? So that beauty there, that one, that big one there, and one of these, I can't remember, are the parents of all the other of all those other hellebores. They just seed around. I wish I knew the name. It was one of the first hellebores I bought. And again, it's some kind of a hybrid, but it seeds about. But all of they all seem to come true. See, there's very little variation in the flower.
What's the red, the vibrant red on the back wall there?
A gorgeous camellia. And that camellia came from Dublin when we moved here. And we had left it in the shed and the roof collapsed in on top of it, broke it. And so I apologised to it and then planted it. And it's taken all that time
to
come back.
Look at it.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely. And
vibrant red colour.
See the red stems there of the Acer. Yeah. I mean, you know, we think of colour in the garden as flowers, but there's so much other colour. I mean, look at that beautiful red. Mm. You know,
in the stem and in the branches of the Acer.
Exactly. And in the winter, if there's any winter sunlight that hits that, oh my goodness, it's absolutely beautiful. It's called the coral bark maple. It's a real beauty. This here is another very good example of spring.
Yes.
Isn't that just so lovely?
Look at the buds. They're out here now.
And you see the way they're kind of upright. Mm. So there's none pointing downwards. This is the wedding cake tree, Cornus controversa variegata. Another big mouthful, Jenny Mackers. I was never good at Latin, but there's a few real tongue twisters, I can tell you. But isn't that just
lovely?
Yeah, and then that'll have a flower later.
Ah,
on.
It's gorgeous, it's gorgeous, it's gorgeous.
And
anything in the courtyard that we have a peep in?
Lots in the courtyard, in that everything is just starting. But I'm changing a few things in the courtyard this year. So you know we have a lot of pots. And what I'm going to do is, I also am obsessed with the aeoniums. So I'm going to bring the aeoniums out and plant them in the pots. And then this lovely thing here in the middle, I had an olive tree here and it was just too wet. Mm. So the olive tree is in the sick bay in my greenhouse, in the dry, away from all the rain. And I planted a twisted hazel, and it's a smaller one. It's called Scooter. And so I'm hoping that'll be really nice now during the summer.
Work in progress in the courtyard for sure. It is March, and one minute we're bathed in lovely sunshine, and the next minute clouds cover the sun, and you know it's still just mid-March, really. Yeah. Ah, look at these.
Aren't they pretty?
Aren't they pretty? Tell us. Tell the listeners.
They're just hyacinths, actually.
They're lovely.
But again, I looked up, how to make hyacinths come back every year, and I had them in pots. And it just said, if you plant them in full sun, as much sun as we can get here in Ireland, and I do deadhead these, but I leave the foliage. So when they start to flop over, see that some of them are starting to go over, I'll just cut them. Sometimes if they flop before they're dying, I cut them and bring them into the kitchen and just enjoy the scent. But they're great for a bit of early.
Oh, they're lovely. And look at the large standard daffodils in there. Big bust of them.
Exactly, but they're in there. So, and you see, that's a lovely catinus shrub. So they can just do, and then they can die back, and I don't have to cut them or don't have to
bother.
And
the shrub comes on then after that. Is this some... These aren't tulips, are they up here? Are these tulips already?
They are already. In fact,
there you go.
Some of my early tulips have already died. There's a lovely little early tulip. It's called Tulip Streza. It's red and white, and that bloomed in February, and it's gone. But these are a lovely one. They're called... they're a Darwin hybrid, and they are very reliably perennial. I don't know whether it's Van Eck or Van Eijk, I think it's called. And there's just some lovely, lovely colours. There's a couple of different shades. I just have this kind of peachy one.
I love them. And it reminds you again. Yeah. Down we go. We're going down towards the pond to have a quick look. It looks pretty. I'm looking in the distance. The belt of yellow down here. But around the pond, it's quite desolate still, isn't it, at this time of year? You've done a bit of clearing here, have you? So you've done a lot of clearing since the last time I was here, haven't you?
I certainly have. And can I just walk you over towards the pond to show you the latest invasion? There's always something.
I see it.
A nice trip. my dad used to always...
1, 2, hold on, I'm after hitting something there, Mike. Yeah. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, that's it there. Yeah, I'm back in that. Go ahead. 1, 2, 1, 2. Now, go ahead.
So we're here at the pond, and I just wanted to show you this. I think it must have come in on maybe a bird's leg or something. And it's actually, I looked it up, it's Azolla. I think it's a water fern. See each one of those tiny little dots?
Yes.
Like there must be a million of them there. They're individual little ferns, and it's so difficult to get rid of. Look, I have that bucket there and a sieve, and I'm in every... It doubles every 48 hours, and I'm in with the sieve trying to take it up. But I can't sieve this bit because that's the bit where the tadpoles were, remember?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a bit of a... Look at you, there's always something.
There's always something to keep you going. And there's always... That's Mother Nature. Invasive is part of the way the whole ecosystem works. Well, God Almighty, it's the same for everybody.
Yeah.
Isn't the ground just so saturated and so soft? Now, I know we're in the lowest part of your garden here for sure, but it's the same, isn't it, all over?
Absolutely. And this year, though, it's particularly bad. Mm. I mean, you know, we planted that weeping willow there. That's tripled in size in 3 years because it's just so happy because it gets all of the water. So I hope it does a better job at getting rid of the sogginess. This is just lovely in the wet ditch. And you can see I did do a lot of work on this because all of the flag irises had died. And so I cut back all of the foliage. I missed a bit there. You can just see it's very kind of messy. Mm. I'll have to go get in and get those. But this is a lovely thing. This is marsh marigold. And
beautiful.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Oh my. Yeah. It's lovely.
And it loves having its feet wet. So that's very,
it's
very happy.
Perfect. It's thriving there down along where the little stream flows down to the lower part. And look at all the daffs. You have to go around here again and have a look at them. You've more in the beds, I see, over on the other side
there.
Yeah.
And then there's a few little... You can just see the little primroses there.
Oh, yes.
The one that you asked me the last day the name of, and I still don't know the name of.
The little purpley one.
The little purpley one. It's beautiful. It's such a great doer. But there's more daffodils there. I squeeze in bulbs. I'm a great believer in underplanting. But isn't this lovely? I must get more of these, in fact. This is called the hoop petticoat daffodil, and the foliage is unusual.
So unusual. Isn't even it? The flowers, a trumpet-like flower.
Yeah, and it's tiny. That's really good for naturalizing in grass as well.
Yeah.
So because the foliage is grass-like, so that would kind of just, you know, blend in as it fades away.
Yeah.
And then here,
it's a trumpet without, you know, the surround of the leaves on the normal daffodil that you'd have. You know,
and
it's just like the center part. It's lovely.
And it's tiny. It's tiny. And then this is just again tete-a-tete. This is almost gone over. That was a kind of a Tazetta daffodil with a lovely little orange centre.
Yeah.
I mean, I know very little.
How many varieties have you?
Oh, Jeannie, I don't know. I haven't a clue. Probably not that many. Probably only about 10 or 12, because I've just stuck to the same ones.
Yeah.
Because like any obsession, like I'm bad enough with the hellebores and the snowdrops, I can't start another collection.
Asha, why not? But you have a great collection. You have, look at these again.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to say, being with you today, you know, the snowdrops are the, in my opinion, welcome in the year, and they're gorgeous, and they have been gorgeous, and they're all gone as I come back.
Yeah.
But the daffodil follows through from white to yellow, and it really is the harbinger of spring, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, they're so cheerful. But you don't have to be limited to yellow and to just the tall varieties. There's so many different varieties. You know, check them out. And, you know, they just, as you say, they follow on. And then they bring you nicely into tulip season.
Yeah.
You know, but already even the hydrangeas. Look at all the new growth on that.
Mm.
So, what we don't need now is a late frost.
Please,
no, please.
Irish weather,
exactly.
Play ball with us for once, will you? Because you've been deluging us for months and months now. Anyway, on Daffodil Day, it's been a real pleasure to visit your gardens again. Thank you so much for taking us round. Focusing on daffodils for sure, but lots more happening in the garden. I'll see you soon.
You certainly will. if it's not too wet.
Please God it won't be. Anyway, and Rosie, just remind us again where listeners can check you out online.
Facebook and Instagram, The Insomniac Gardener.
She doesn't get an hour of sleep, and I can see why. Until the next time, thanks a million.
Bye.
That's great.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.